Getting Help, The Hope Choice, Choice 2, Earnestly Believe That God Exists, That I Matter to Him, and That He Has the Power to Help Me Recovery. Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. It doesn't rain much in Southern California, and it rarely rains enough to cause any flooding. But several years ago, it rained so hard that a portion of Lake Forest actually flooded. Glenn lives in a low area. The flooding was so bad that the Orange County Register sent a reporter in a boat out to Glenn's neighborhood. The reporter found Glenn's wife, Joanne, sitting on their roof, watching large objects floating by. So he climbed up on the roof to interview her. As the reporter questioned Joanne, he saw a Weber barbecue float by. And then he saw a large golden retriever pass by on top of his doghouse. And finally, a sports utility vehicle. A few minutes later, he saw a hat float by. But after it floated about 20 feet past the house, it started floating back upstream. When it got about 20 feet on the other side of the house, it started floating back down again. The reporter watched the hat go by 7 or 8 times, and finally he asked Joanne, "Do you have any idea how that hat is floating up and downstream?" "Oh," Joanne said, "that's just my crazy husband, Glenn. He said he was going to mow the lawn today, come hell or high water." The problem with many of us today is that we're still focusing on the lawn while our home is floating away. We have the crazy notion that we are in control. In the first chapter, we learn that no matter how hard we try to keep everything under control, we are powerless to control our tendency to do the wrong, and that our lives are unmanageable. This chapter will begin moving out of the role of playing God and into the role of receiving God's power. We'll also gain a vision of the hope and help God offers us. But first, we'll look at two of God's blessings in disguise: grief and pain. And when we do, we'll learn how to tap into God's power. Grief, God's pathway to comfort. All of us have broken areas in our lives, things that bring us deep grief and pain. In fact, the things we carry around can be downright devastating. When we carry a hurt for a long time, we eventually find our identity in that hurt and become a victim. We may try to escape our pain by using drugs or alcohol, or try to control all those around us with anger. The list goes on and on. As we work through the 8 choices of this book, we will come face to face with truths about ourselves and our lives that we have tried to hide and hide from our whole lives. We begin to experience hurt and a sense of loss. This is the process of mourning. And it brings a whole new kind of pain. We mourn over our past mistakes. And we even mourn over our loss of control. In the end, God leads us to His comfort if we will just trust in Him. As the beatitude for this choice says, "Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." We mourn our past mistakes. As you do the work of the 8 choices in this book, you may begin to grieve your past and find yourself filled with regret. "I wish I hadn't made those dumb decisions. I wish I hadn't responded as I did. I wish I hadn't done what I did. I wish. It starts to dawn on us that we have hurt people and we have been hurt by others. We mourn our loss of control. Even though we never were really in control, we thought we were. And facing up to that fact brings a sense of real loss. Mourning is what happens when we finally face the truth of choice number 1, admitting that we are powerless to control our tendency to do wrong and that our lives are unmanageable. We discover God's pathway to comfort. As long as we don't get stuck in the mourning process, mourning can serve as a pathway to comfort and to help and hope God has ready for us. The same promise God gave his people of old, he gives us today. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of despair. For the Lord has planted them like strong and graceful oaks for his own glory. Pain, God's antidote for denial. Just as grief is God's pathway to comfort, pain is God's antidote for denial. In reality, denial is a kind of sickness and needs a powerful antidote. As strange as it may sound, pain is God's antidote for denial. C.S. Lewis helps us understand. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. Pain is God's megaphone to arouse a deaf world. Pain is God's way of letting us know something is seriously wrong and needs our attention. If your appendix bursts and you felt no pain, you would know your body needed help. The toxins from your appendix would infect your abnormal cavity and could eventually kill you. Pain alerts us to our need for help. Pain is also God's fire alarm. If a fire alarm went off in your house, I don't think you'd say, "Oh, there goes that stupid fire alarm again." Somebody throw a rock at it and make it stop. Hopefully, you would do something about it. You would call the fire department and get some help, or replace the batteries because it was a false alarm. We often try to cover up the sound. We try to mute the noise with people, work, food, alcohol, sex, and many, many different things. If you ignore the alarm, your house could burn down. An important point needs to be made here. Just because God allows pain to enter your life does not mean that he causes the pain. And it certainly doesn't mean that he enjoys seeing you in pain. Pain is often a consequence of our poor choices or the poor choices of others. God allows the natural consequences of these poor choices to play out. This is not the same thing as him causing our pain. God loves us and wants to lead us out of our pain and into healing. The miracle is that he brings good out of our pain by using it to lead us to his comfort and away from our denial. With that said, take a look at yourself. How's your pain level? Is God using your pain to get your attention? Denial, refusing God's power to help. To deny your pain is to refuse God's power to help you recover. You will never find healing from your hurts, hang-ups, and habits until you confront your pain. Unless you've lived a perfect life, it's a sure thing that you struggle. How bad does the hurt, relationship, pain, or memory have to get before you are ready to face your denial and admit you cannot handle it by yourself? Remember, if you could have handled that problem on your own, it wouldn't still be a problem. If you could handle it, you would have, but you can't, so you won't. Sometimes in our denial, we excuse ourselves and we accuse others. If my wife would just get her act together, then our marriage would be just fine. We play the blame game. Do you know how to spell blame? Be lame. When we blame others for something we did, we are being lame. Other forms of denial are just as strange. When someone asks us how we're doing, we often say, "I'm fine," or "So far, so good." Who are we kidding? We could say the same thing if we just jumped off a building and we're halfway down. We haven't hit bottom yet, so we say we're fine. So far, so good. Instead of denying your pain, allow it to motivate you to get help, to start making healing choices, to face the issue that you've been ignoring for 10, 20, maybe 30 years. Don't refuse God's power to help. We rarely change when life is cool and comfortable. We change when we feel the heat. We start to change after our marriage falls apart, or after our kids go off in the wrong direction. One man said, "The acid of my pain finally are through the wall of my denial." Unfortunately, we usually don't change until our fear of change is exceeded by our pain. Most people never choose to move toward healing until there is no other option. God uses three denial busters to get our attention, to force us to move into recovery and away from the choices and circumstances that have messed up our lives. Number one is crises. God uses the pain of an unexpected crisis to shatter our denial. Illness caused by years of substance abuse. Stress brought on by workaholism. Job loss due to inappropriate actions or a divorce due to infidelity. Number two, confrontation. God can also use the people in our lives who care for us. People who care enough to say, "You're blowing it." He uses people who love us enough to confront us in truth and love and say, "You're about to lose your health. You're about to lose your job. You're about to lose your family." There's an old saying in Texas, if one person calls you a horse's rear, ignore it. If two people call you a horse's rear, look in the mirror. If three people call you a horse's rear, buy a saddle. If three people say you need to get some help with hurt, hang up, or a habit, get some help. Number three is catastrophe. When the bottom falls out, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, relationally, God sometimes just steps back and lets us feel the full impact of our own poor choices. You want to be God? Okay. Have it your way. Don't ignore your pain. Recognize it as God's denial buster and open yourself up to the hope and power He offers. Choice one says, "I admit it. I'm helpless. I'm powerless." Choice two says, "There is a power greater than me, and there is hope. There is a power I can plug into that will help me handle things I can't handle on my own." That is good news. As we'll see in the remainder of this chapter, choice two is made up of three magnificent truths about God. Number one, He exists. Number two, I matter to Him. And number three, He has the power to help me. As we begin to understand each truth, we'll see that each one involves a choice on our part. A choice to believe and a choice to receive. Unless we make this choice, His power cannot become real in our lives. The truth about God. God exists. The Bible makes it clear that belief in God is essential. Anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Most people do acknowledge that God exists. Why? Because it takes more faith not to believe in a creator than it does to believe in one. If you took your watch completely apart, put the pieces in a paper bag, shook it up, and dump the bag out on a table, the odds of the pieces coming together randomly as a complete watch would be pretty incredible. And the world is much, much more complex than your watch. Where there is an effect, there must be a cause. Where there is design, there must be a designer. Where there is a creation, there must be a creator. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. Number two, you matter to Him. Since most people believe God exists, the real issue becomes, what kind of God is He? Do I really matter to Him? The reason a lot of us don't know we matter to God is that we don't really know what God is like. And sometimes we don't have adequate information. We just make up our own way. We say, God as I understand him, or my idea about God is, just because we have a certain idea about God doesn't mean it's right. Our personal conception of God is not what matters. What matters is the truth of who he is. And sometimes we just don't have the correct information. Two young boys in a Catholic school had been continually misbehaving and were sent to the principal's office on several occasions. The principal knew that they really needed was to have God in their lives. So she brought the first boy in and set him down. I want to ask you a question, son. Where is God? The young boy was scared to death by the question. He didn't know how to answer. He just sat there. She asked him three or four times, "Where is God?" Still, the young boy didn't answer. She told him that she wanted him to think about that question, so she sent him out of the office. As he was leaving, the second boy, whose turn it was to see the principal, asked the first, "What's going on?" The first boy said, "I don't know, but evidently God is missing, and they're trying to pin it on us." Sometimes our misconceptions about God confuse our picture of him. Unfortunately, a lot of people think God is like one of their parents. People who had abusive fathers tend to think God, the father, is abusive. Those whose mothers were aloof and unloving may think God is aloof and unloving. Those who had reason to fear their parents tend to be afraid of God. Until we understand God's true character, we can't completely trust him. It's hard to trust something or someone we do not know about or understand. Fortunately, we have a God who cares about us. We matter to him.
Can you answer me? Can I go over to Riley's? I can.
God knows about your situation. God knows your hurts, hang-ups, and habits. He knows the good and bad. When we have a good, solid understanding of this, a tough week or a tough month in life, we may think that no one really cares. Nobody knows the pain I'm going through in this marriage. We're wrong. God knows. Or maybe we think nobody knows how I'm struggling to break this habit. God knows. Perhaps we think nobody knows the depression and fear I'm going through. God knows. He knows it all, and he cares. Nothing escapes his notice. King David had plenty of sorrow in his life, and he said of God, "You have listened to my troubles and have seen the crisis in my soul." God sees the crisis you may be going through right now. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. God is with you in your pain, and he is able to help you overcome your hurts, hang-ups, and habits. Did you know God keeps a record of every tear that has fallen down your cheek? You know how troubled I am. You have kept a record of my tears, David rehearses in the Old Testament. Isn't that incredible? You have never, ever shed a tear that God missed. Nothing is beyond his love. Nothing is beyond his compassionate gaze. He is with you, and he is aware of everything you've gone through and are going through and will go through. Job said of God, "You keep close watch on all my paths." God is watching over you. Nothing escapes his eye. Sometimes we wish God didn't have to see all the poor choices we make. The fact is, nothing is off the record with God. God is not shocked by your sin. He knew it was coming long before you did. He knows why you did it, even when you don't. He knows your good days, your bad days, your foolish decisions, and all your secrets. Amazingly, he still loves you. Not only does God care about your situation, he cares all about it, and you. Scripture reminds us, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. God made us, so he knows what we're made of, mere molecules. And he knows that we're frail creatures. God wants to be the father that many of us never had. He is tender and sympathetic toward us. He says to us, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He cares about us when we serve him and when we don't, when we're right and when we're wrong. How can God love and care about us when our lives are so messed up? Because his love for us is unconditional. It's not based on our performance. It's based on his character. This is how much God cares about us. Scripture reminds us that God showed his great love for us by sending his Son, Christ, to die for us. There is no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And this is exactly what Jesus did for you. God has the power to change you and your situation. Sometimes God changes you. Sometimes he changes your situation. Sometimes he changes both. He's got the power. The magnitude of this power is hard to comprehend, so the Apostle Paul prayed for our understanding. I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. If God can raise Jesus Christ from the dead, he can certainly raise a dead relationship. He can set us free from an addiction. He can take away our guilt and shame. He can help us close the door on the past so those memories stop haunting us. God has the power to change us and our situation. The Bible goes on to say that nothing is too hard for God. What is impossible with God is possible. What is impossible with men is possible with God. The situation you're in right now may seem hopeless, but it's not. In fact, in our Celebrate Recovery family, we have had thousands and thousands of people who were in impossible situations. They could not change these situations on their own power. They never thought in a million years that they or their circumstances could ever change. But they did. At the end of this chapter, you'll find the stories of Mary and Tim. Stories that show how God's power helped them change as they completed this second choice. Now, we'll look at what you can do to make God's power a reality in your own life. Believe it or not, things work better when they're plugged in. This applies to toasters, vacuum cleaners, coffee makers, and to, well, us. In order to get rid of the pain, we must choose to plug into God's power, and that means more than just believing. If simply believing in God were enough, most of us wouldn't need this book or these 8 healing choices. Belief alone cannot wipe away the pain and devastation of the hurts, hang-ups, and habits in your life. In order to get rid of the pain, you've got to make a choice. You've got to choose to plug in to God's power. His power is where your help lies. A lot of Christians have no power in their lives because they're not plugged in. When we're plugged into his power, God supplies us with all we need. Scripture reminds us, the Spirit that God has given us fills us with power, love, and self-control. Power, love, and self-control, God's triple power surge, the very 3 things we need in order to be healthy, happy, and whole. Number 1, power. We need power to break habits we can't break on our own. We need power to do what we know is right but can't seem to do by ourselves. We need power to break free from the past and let those memories go. We need power to get on with the kind of life God wants us to live. But we have found that we cannot change on our own power. We need a power much greater than ourselves. We need to plug in to God's power. Love. We need real love. We want to be able to love people and have them love us back. We need to let go of the fear of getting hurt by the ones we love. We want the ability to establish deep, meaningful, authentic relationships rather than superficial, hurtful, selfish relationships. Self-control. We also need self-control, but we can't have self-control until Christ is in control of us. When Christ is in control, we understand, perhaps for the first time, what it means to get it all together. When we're not trying to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, we'll find that Christ will stand us on our feet. You can have access to God's triple power surge if you would just stay connected to the power source. Making the power connection. Believe and receive. How do I plug into God's power? Simple. Believe and receive. First, believe the three truths about God that we shared earlier. Believe that God exists. Believe that you matter to Him. And believe that He has the power to help. Then receive Him into your life. Simply say, Jesus Christ, put your spirit in me. You do that by using a four-letter word. Help. It takes courage to say this word, but it is your connection to power. Help. God, I need your help in my life. Receiving God's help can be frightening because we know it means change. I don't know if I want help to change, you may say. I'm scared to death of change. You may not want to change until your pain exceeds your fear of change. But when you are ready to receive God's power, all you have to say is, God, make me willing to be willing to change. Then He will give you the will and the power to plug into Him. It is God who is at work within you, giving you the will and the power to achieve His purpose. When you do call for help, God has promised to respond. Scripture reminds us, when you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Where are you hurting today? Are you going through some deep waters? Do you feel like you're going under for the last time? Are you going through the fire? Is the heat on in your life? Do you feel like you're stuck in a rut and just can't find the power to change? Do you feel powerless? God's power is available to you right now. It's just a choice away. All you have to do is believe and receive. When I ran out of myself and had nowhere else to turn, I finally hit my bottom. I found God patiently waiting there for me. He gave me His power to make the changes that on my own I was powerless to make. Stepping out of my denial and into God's grace was not easy. Admitting that I was an alcoholic and that my life was out of control was the hardest thing I ever had to do. But when I made this second choice, a huge weight was lifted off my shoulders. The hope and freedom that I began to experience was indescribable. All I had to do was believe and receive while God did the rest. As you work through Make the Choice section of this chapter, you may end up face to face with some real problems. Maybe some you haven't wanted to deal with. It might mean taking some risks. It will most definitely mean being honest and trusting God. First, I pray for your power in my life. I need your power to break habits I can't break. I need your power to help me do the things that I know are right but can't seem to do on my own. I need your power to break free from my past. I ask for your power to get on with the plans you have for my life. Next, I pray for love. I want real love. I want to be able to love people and have them love me. I pray that with your love, I can let go of past hurts and failure so I can tear down the walls of fake intimacy. God, I ask you, help me to have genuine intimacy with you and others. Help me not be afraid of really loving and of really being loved. I also pray for real self-control. I realize that I'm really not in control until I allow Christ to be in control of my life and circumstances. God, please grant me your power, love, self-control. Help me to continue making healing choices. Amen. Action. Write about it. Before you begin, take a minute and reread what you wrote in chapter 1. Sometimes we are in such a hurry to grow, to progress, that we don't take time to reflect on what God has already taught us about himself or ourselves. Your journal will give you an encouraging picture of your growth as you move through these 8 choices. With that said, let's review the following scripture and see what principles we can draw from it. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. God promises to be with you today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, as you face those issues you've been afraid to change all your life. Write out the answers to the following questions. 1. What pain has God been using as a megaphone in your life to alert you to your need for help? 2. Who or what have you blamed for your problems, either partially or completely? 3. What pain have you been denying? 4. What denial busters, crises, confrontation, catastrophe, has God used to try to get your attention? In what areas do you feel stuck in the pain of your past, powerless to change? 6. What areas of your life are you now ready to allow God to start helping you? 7. What are you still afraid to turn over to God? 8. How are your feelings for your earthly father and heavenly father alike? How do they differ? Action number 3, share about it. This may be the most difficult of the 3 sections for you to take, but the good news is that it gets easier as you continue to go through each of the 8 choices. God's word says, as iron sharpens iron, so people can improve each other. If you're still looking for a safe person to share your healing journey with, here are some guidelines that will help you in your search. Number 1, does he or she have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you see the character of Christ developing in this person? 2, does this person's walk and talk match? Some Christians can quote the Bible, chapter and verse, but their lifestyle does not match their talk. Be certain that the person you choose to share your journey with is someone whose life is worthy of imitation. 3. Is he or she a good listener? Do you sense that this person honestly cares about what you have to say? 4. Does he or she show compassion, concern, and hope, but not pity? You don't need someone to feel sorry for you, but you do need someone who can be sensitive to your pain. 5. Is this person strong enough to confront your denial or procrastination? Does he or she care enough about you and your progress to challenge you? There is a difference between helping others and trying to fix others. You need to be careful to guard the relationship from becoming unhealthy or codependent. 6. Does he or she offer suggestions? Sometimes we need help in seeing options or alternatives that we are unable to find on our own. 7. Can this person share his or her own past and current struggles with you? Is this person willing to open up and be vulnerable and transparent with you? The journey to a happy, healthy, whole life is not easy. Along the way, you will have to face some problems you have not wanted to deal with. You'll have to take some risks. This journey is not one to be traveled alone.